Stock Eliminator to the lanes. We need Stock Eliminator to the lanes.
Welcome, everybody, to the Class Racing Podcast with Aaron and Chuck. Introducing your host, RaceToolsDirect.com's own Aaron Allison and the Cobra Jet flying Charlie Downing, better known as Chuck.
This podcast is proudly presented by Race Tools Direct, your source for all of your racing tools and equipment needs. Visit racetoolsdirect.com or call 440-941-8533 to order today.
Did you know that you can get a lift for your shop for as low as $16.99? Stop laying on the ground and make working on your car fun again. For a limited time, podcast listeners can get an additional $75 off using promo code CRP75 at the checkout or call our experts today.
So this week, the Class Racing Podcast, episode number 25, we have recent winner of the Pomona NHRA Winter Nationals, Justin Lamb. Now, Justin is, this, I believe, was your 26th national event win, according to Drag Race Central, at least. And 14 in Superstock, third Winter Nationals win of your career. And Justin, for those of you who don't know, I believe is also a five-time world champion. Get all that right, Justin?
Yeah, I think so. You're going to laugh, but my father would know exactly. I know the five times correct, and but my father would probably know the 26 national event wins for sure. I try not to get caught up in it, but he would know if that is a fact, but if that's what Drag Race Central said, I'm sure they got it right.
Nice. Well, it's obviously a very, very impressive resume, and you're still a fairly young guy. What are you, early 30s, I think?
32, yeah.
32. So whether it's 25, 26, or 10, still very impressive. So in five world championships and only 32, I mean, wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah, I've been, I guess, very lucky. I don't know how else to say it. Like, I do put in a lot of effort, but things still have to go the right way. And I guess I've been very fortunate in my career for, at least to this point, for things to go my way and the effort to pay off. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Now, real quick, before we kind of jump into the racing, you know, if one of our listeners, you know, has been living under a rock, has never heard of Justin Lamb, maybe isn't as big of a race fan, you know, how would you describe yourself as, you know, person, family man, job, you know, what would you tell somebody? Who's Justin Lamb?
Man, that's tough. I mean, I'll just tell you about my life currently. I'm married with two kids. I got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I work a regular day job. I actually do accounting for the city that I live in. I live in the city of Henderson, which is just outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I do accounting. And so I work all week. And luckily, because it's a city job, I do get quite a bit of time off. And we also work 4/10. So that's how I can race as much as I do, because I'm off every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But that's pretty much it. I graduated from UNLV with an accounting degree. And my wife and I got married about 8 years ago. And we have two kids, and a boy and a girl. And I feel like I'm a family man, but I tend to work a lot. I obviously racing is kind of a full-time job for me, as well as working at the city. My dad and I basically take care of all the race cars ourselves. We obviously, like, we don't build our own engine or anything like that, but just keeping up. We have four cars, and typically I race two, and Kyle Seiple races two, but I'm pretty sure most of the world knows what's going on with him. He's fighting a battle with cancer right now, so he hasn't been racing, but my good friend Ryan Mangus has been driving my dragster. And bottom line is my dad and I are taking care of these 3 to 4 race cars at any given time, and that's a full-time job. And so I unfortunately I work way more than I'd like to, between work, racing, and then I work on the side with Luke Bogacki on the This Is Bracket Racing Elite group. And I work a ton, but I do try to spend as much time as I can with my wife and kids, and obviously race when I can also. So.
Yeah, no, I think that was great. And you know, it definitely sounds like you got a full plate for sure. I think the 410s would definitely help, though.
So the 410s are a plus, but like that 10-hour day is like the worst thing ever when you come home from a race. Like Pomona, for instance. I raced Pomona. I probably got on the road at 6 o'clock. I'm home by 11 or 12. And Pomona is like, besides Vegas, my closest event.
Right.
I mean, there's been, it was 5 or 6 years ago. I remember I had a meeting on Monday. I won the Denver National and literally drove straight through. It's like 750 miles from Denver to Vegas. And I think I rolled in about 5 a.m. and was to work at 7. And like, so sometimes it's miserable. And that 10 hours feels like it's 30 hours when you just got home from racing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah, it's helpful for racing, but not maybe all the time.
Anyway, it just makes for a long day when you come off a long weekend, you know?
Yeah. I've also done the all-night drives home, you know, get a shower and go straight to work. And it makes you wonder if racing's worth it sometimes. But if it's because of a win, then it's always worth it. If you lost first round Sunday night, it rained all weekend, not feeling as good about it.
Right, exactly. I agree.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about your latest win here. Your third Winter Nationals win at Pomona, so kick off the year, and you won in Super Stock. And just kind of looking at Driver Central, looking at your lights, I mean, you were 28 in the first round, and then 14, 000, 21, 6, and 2. I mean, definitely pretty stellar up front. What can you tell us about Pomona?
Well, last year, I still had a good year by most standards, but the 2 years prior, I obviously had great years in 2017, 2018. In 2019, this might sound kind of stupid to most, but me and as, I guess, as focused as I am, and like when I set my mind to something, like I'm just all in, I guess the only way to put it. And to the point that I'm grouchy, miserable, I don't have time for anything else. I just got to focus on what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. So that those years of 2017, 18, I won 3 world championships in those 2 years, but I was not fun to race with for anybody else. My wife and kids were having a good time. My parents weren't having a good time. Cause I mean, I'm just focused on that, you know, like I'm going to the racetrack to win and nothing else and make sure my cars are perfect, make sure I'm driving good and whatever. So in 2019, I thought, you know what, like I need to make this fun. Like, this isn't fair to everybody else. And to be honest with you, no matter how much I won, like you get to the end of the year and it really wasn't that much fun, you know, like it just became a lot like it, and it wasn't fun for me either. So 2019, my thought was, well, I'm just going to make this fun. I can still do good with having fun. And I still won a national event and a couple of divisionals or whatever, but I definitely didn't have years to even compare to the prior. And so the biggest thing I felt like I lacked was like the aggressiveness and the confidence to be aggressive, because I wasn't taking time runs as seriously. I wasn't, or qualifying runs as serious. I was still there and serious, but it just wasn't to that level. And so my thought this year was to try to get back to that. And my hope is, fast forward, is to try to just cram all that into the hours that we race. Like, for instance, I looked at the schedule today for Phoenix, and, you know, we get 2 qualifying runs between like 8 and noon in Phoenix. And then we got on Friday, and then that afternoon, like when I'm done with that last run, I just need to put my logbooks in the trailer, lock the door and hang out with my wife and kids and friends and, you know, family, whatever, whoever's there, and enjoy it. Go back to the 17, 18 season. It was like, I'd lock myself in the motorhome for the rest of the day, staring at logbooks, comparing my cars to others, comparing my potential round of competition, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I just drove myself nuts. And it's not fun for anybody. So last year I was probably too lax. I'm hoping that maybe I can get somewhere in the middle. And I put in a lot of effort this off season on the practice tree. And attention to the cars, which is something that never changes. I always try to make – I feel like that's probably the one thing I pride myself the most in is I might not be the best driver, but I definitely feel like I have the best car or equal to it. Like I just put a lot of effort into the cars. And so I did that again this winter. Effort into the practice tree. And when I got to Pomona, I felt like I had more confidence to be aggressive. I was more focused. I was more determined to win, not just, whatever. Like, you know, I just came off like those 2 great years. Like, if I don't win, whatever, you know, like that was kind of my mentality, which is stupid.
Right.
How much time and effort have I put into this, but like, I wanted to enjoy it for a minute, you know, and I'm hoping this year I can find a middle ground. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's tough. I mean, especially with having so much success that you did, you know, just to try to find that middle ground, right?
Well, it is, and it's weird. Like, you think that, oh, man, it must be a blast. Like, you won these races and these championships, whatever. And don't get me wrong, it's fun and the rewards are cool, whatever. But you get to the end of the year and you're like, man, like, I, whatever. I mean, you just don't. You don't enjoy it as much as you think you would, because at least for me and my personality, because I feel like for me to be successful, I just have to put in so much effort. Like, I'm just not, I don't know, maybe there's some that don't have to. Maybe some that it just comes naturally and they just do it and make it happen, and it's a blast while they're doing it. It's funny, I think you're friends with Brad Zaskowski, and I'll never forget, yeah. I told this story to Luke, I think, but on his podcast, but him and I were both trying to win the world in 18 in Superstock, and like, we pulled to the lanes, and, like, I'm not even kidding. I think I slept 2 hours the night before because I was up all night looking at all of his – I mean, I literally wrote down, like, this is going to sound crazy. I have every single number on a notepad. I have every single pass he made down the racetrack in 2018 on a notepad in my office to, like, try to figure out how his car dials and how the wind affects it and how the weather affects it and how, like, his driving tendencies, all this shit, right? I was up all freaking night doing this. Because I basically knew that I was going to have to race him, and the winner more or less won the world, right? And, So, I mean, here I'm up all night. We get to the lanes, and I love Brad, like, the nicest guy. But, I mean, I just remember him getting to the lanes, and this freaking happy ass gets out of his car like, man, this is so exciting. We're racing. I'm like, exciting? What the heck is wrong with you? Like, I slept 2 hours last night. This isn't fun. Like, this isn't exciting for me. Like, and it's just maybe the difference, like, he just naturally just drives great and doesn't have to put in that much effort. Like, I have to. I feel like I have to. I don't know. So, I drive myself nuts and probably all those around me nuts also. But hopefully this year, hopefully Pomona was the start to, like, the happy medium. Like, still drive aggressive, still put forth a lot of effort, but try to have fun in the process. So,
nice. Now, let me – now. So, Brad actually jumped on the podcast. He was one of our first guests when we did it. And he kind of told that same story from the opposite perspective, obviously. Do you think by staying up all night, you obviously it worked out for you, but did you gain much by doing the notebook, or was it more just kind of keeping your mind busy and staying focused?
To be honest with you, did I know exactly what I thought his car was going? Yeah, I knew all that, but do I really think it mattered in this grand scheme of things? Like, we both just made great runs.
Right.
It really didn't matter that I knew that information, but mentally, from my standpoint, I had more confidence going into the round, feeling like I knew how the race was going to play out, like feeling that I knew what I had to do. I knew, like, I went into the round, and actually Fletcher was there, and he's like, what are you doing for this round? I said, I don't really know. I just need to be like 15 total or better to win. I really believe that. Like, I think Brad can make a good run whenever he wants to. And I remember telling Fletcher that, and I think he was like 16 total, like whatever the number was. It was like
right.
Close. But I feel like it just gave me more self-confidence from like more of like the mental standpoint. Not that I knew what his car was going to run, or maybe he took 100 pounds out. Who the heck knows? It might have all been irrelevant. But the reality is it just made me feel like I had more confidence, completely mental for me. And I feel like that's any given race. Forget the race against Brad this weekend. Like, if I do my homework and research my opponent and spend time on the practice tree and spend time on my car, make sure my car's good and make sure everything's good, I tend to drive with more confidence. So I feel like that's probably why I put in so much effort into the other things, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's at least me. And you know, I'm pretty big into stats too, and spend a lot of time on the research and Driver Central and, you know, NHRA's website, and looking at, you know, my opponent's runs and trying to see what they dial or see what they should dial, right? And at least for me, sometimes I think it hurts my aggressiveness because, you know, I'll see that they've maybe dialed wrong from what I think they should dial, or I'll look and see that they've not been very good on the tree. And, you know, I think it's the hardest thing for me from looking at all the data is, yeah, maybe I see the data, and yeah, maybe that's something that might help my strategy a little bit. How do you go and be super aggressive and run your own race to some extent, right, when you get in the car? And I think I wonder sometimes if you're better off just not to know anything and just go up there and hit the tree and you know, know what you're, you know, focus on your car, and just making a really good run.
I'm sure there's some truth to that, but like I said, for me, it's not even necessarily knowing what they're going or knowing they're misdialed or they're dialed on or whatever. It's, I feel like a lot of it for me is just I have more confidence as a driver when I put forth the effort. And let's even forget like the research into things, like looking up other opponents, knowing that
your car's good.
I show up to the racetrack and I feel like I have the best car anytime, like in either of the cars I'm racing, whatever. Like I genuinely believe that most of the time. Like I know I put forth a ton of effort. I test a lot. I make a lot of runs. I always am trying the latest, greatest new thing, like trying to be better, trying to stay ahead, whatever. Like, and that gives me more confidence as a driver. Like, could I win in a piece of crap? Maybe, but I just, all these little things just give me more confidence. And really at the end of the day, and today, and I know you mentioned earlier that like Fletcher was on the podcast recently, and I think he would probably tell you the same thing, but like the competition, the cars, the drivers, all of the tools available to the drivers or to the racers, you know, everything has gotten so good. At the end of the day, you just have to make good runs. I mean,
right. Period.
Like it just doesn't, I mean, even my guy in the final, and don't quote me, you looked at Drag Race Central, but if I were to look at his runs, Todd, I forget his last name, Haste, I think is who I raced in the final. He, like earlier in the race, he had like a 60 or 70 light, whatever. And I could have probably looked at that and been like, oh man, like he just came off a 000 because he was perfect in a semis. Like he's probably going to back way off. Like, but at the end of the day, he made a great run. He's like 21 over. Like that should, I'm assuming that probably wins a lot of finals, you know? And you can't really look at, I mean, I can't look at that. I just know that everybody's stuff is so good these days and all the drivers are so good and everybody has such good equipment. Like, you just have to, honestly, I feel like you just have to, for me anyways, I just know I have to make great runs all the time. It doesn't really matter what the guy did previously. They're capable of making a great run anytime.
No, for sure. I think that's exactly right. Right. You know, people aren't always going to make a good run, but I think, you know, yourself and, you know, we talked to Dan about this a few weeks ago, you know, you guys get for sure a lot of people's best runs, right? They know they got to be good against you, you know, and they're going to try to hit it as hard as they can. You know, do you get some red lights every once in a while? Yeah, maybe, but you know, you probably get a lot of good lights too. So
yeah, you definitely get a lot of good lights and a lot of good runs put against you. And yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, I feel like things are as tough as they've ever been. And I mean, it sounds crazy, but even like all the new cars that are coming in, right? Like all these Cobra Jets, Copos, Drag, like all this new stuff, like the technology, the fuel injection systems, like all this stuff, like cars are more dialable. Cars, I mean, they're just better racers, especially in stock Eliminator. I mean, I know we're talking about super stock more or less because of Pomona, but I mean, stock Eliminator, these cars are better than ever. I mean, it's crazy. And it's only getting tougher and tougher. And you add in things like Crew Chief Pro to dial the car for them. And I guess this is partially my fault, but like, you know, the school that I'm a part of with Luke, that this is Bracket Racing Elite Group. I mean, here we're like teaching people like how to race and how to race better. Like 20 years ago, they had to figure it out on their own and it probably took a while. Now they can just learn instantly and then they can buy the software and then it just dials for them and they're good instantly. Like it's just changing the ball game. That's for sure. So.
No, I mean, just to answer a few of those points, but I think, you know, when I first started racing it, and my dad had, you know, kind of grown up racing and stuff, but he really wasn't a bracket racer and really didn't understand the bracket racing side of it. And, you know, I grew up doing I started in juniors just like you did, just at the local track, and we went to some points meets and stuff. But, you know, we really didn't know what we were doing. I didn't do that well. But, I started racing mostly on the IH race side, you know, stock, super stock type stuff. And, you know, I just remember how you got better as you raced with people that were better. You watched them. You tried to learn from them. You asked them questions here and there. But, yeah, you're right. It wasn't like there was no school. There was no online. There was no videos. You know, and I remember racing with people like Bob Marshall, you know, and people like, you know, Anthony Bartosi and those guys back in the ice trade days, Jim Harrington. And, you know, racing with those guys and just kind of watching how they operated, you could learn so much, you know.
Absolutely.
But it was a slow process. And now I think, like you said, the cars have gotten a lot better. I know that, you know, we got a 2015 Copo that we debuted last summer in like July. And I would think, you know, my Cavalier, it's very similar to your modified car in many respects. You know, it's pretty deadly, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a Power Glide, big bias tire. I mean, the thing would probably hook on the staging lanes. And I really thought it would take some time to get the Copo kind of dialed in. But honestly, right out of the box, you know, I just kind of set the suspension up to what Mike Pistone suggested. It's pretty killer. I was really impressed how consistent a car going 920s on a 9-inch tire could be.
Yeah.
So I agree. These new cars are awesome.
Yeah. No, it is. And what's crazy, I mean, you can just buy one, go to the track, and I mean, and this is like probably like a whole nother podcast, but because I don't even think that they should be allowed to use them, but you throw a blinder in your face and all you got to do is see that bottom bulb and let go and you got a really good car. Like, it makes things fairly simple. I mean,
I agree. I mean, I've tried the, I've many years ran the blinder. I've been kind of on and off of it. I've not ran the last couple of years, but, yeah, I mean, a blinder has made a lot of people dangerous.
Absolutely.
Because you know, you can be really good.
No, I agree 100%, and I mean, if you want to race with a blinder, go race something Pro Tree. I mean, that's basically what you're doing. Like, this is bottom bulb racing. It should be bottom bulb racing, you know. But I realize it's a hard thing to police. I've been around forever, and like I said, I don't want to get on a tangent about that. But I, like I said, it just the reality is the competition is as tough as ever. You have to be aggressive. You have to, you know, put in the effort, put in the work, and make sure you have good equipment. Like, everybody else does. So, you know, unfortunately you got to keep up. So.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you think, you know, it seems like, well, at least on the East Coast and I guess, you know, you race back here some, but I mean, the national event fields have gotten a little bit smaller the last couple of years. They've kind of pared it down a little bit. And it seems to me that's really made it even more competitive. I mean, a lot of these national events, you look at the list in the Midwest here, at least for sure. And there's like hardly anybody you want to even run. I mean, there's just no ducks left. Everybody that comes is pretty serious.
Yeah. That's how I feel also. I feel the same way. I mean, you think, oh, there's only, you know, it's only going to be a 6-round race instead of a 7 or a 5 instead of a 6, whatever the case at the national events. And, to be honest with you, you know, or a 5 instead of a 6, what it just depends on where you're at, what race. But like I said, you look at this and it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna be easier to be around less. But then you look and it's like half the field is a previous world champion, or a quarter of the field the previous world champion, or whatever. Like, everybody in the field won a national event at one time or another. Like, it's just crazy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, I was going over everything for Phoenix, the schedule, the entry list, everything this weekend. I mean, even if you look at Superstock, I mean, don't quote me, but I mean, you got Jody Lang, who hasn't won a world, but probably should have multiple times, right?
Yeah, one of the best, right?
Yeah, Fletcher, DeFrank, McClanahan, I mean, you name it. Like, the freaking list just go. I mean, you just go down. And Rizzoli, like, who just, I mean, obviously had a great year last year. Like,
yeah, number two.
I mean, it's just, and so there's only like 50 cars entered, but there's like 15 that are complete badasses. And then there's a whole bunch that are really good, you know? Like, I don't know. It definitely makes it tough. But the only thing I can tell you, this is going to sound maybe kind of goofy, but like, I would almost rather race somebody that's good, that I know is good, and more than likely if they're at the national, they are good, right? And
yeah.
I guess I feel this way because like, if you lose, I just get back, try to learn from it, and move on. Like, you lose to the guy that you don't think is that good, it sucks. Like, I don't know how else to say it, but I mean, even like the round against Fletcher, you know, like I raced Fletcher in the semis with Pomona. Like, if I lose to Fletcher, like, in a way, big deal. I lost to one of the best ever. Right. Like,
right.
There's a lot to be said of that. So a part of me, I don't mind that the competition is greater because it just, I can just stay aggressive. I mean, you turn it a red against Rizzoli or Fletcher, Jody, whatever, right? Like, chances are they're making a good run next to you. There's nothing worse than turning a couple thou red against a guy that's 120 on the tree that races 300.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, right.
So a part of me, there's part of me that doesn't mind it, but the other part of me, I mean, it's just getting tougher and tougher. It is what it is. But I mean, it's great. It's good for the sport. It's good competition. Like, that's why we all do it. But Yeah. So there's different sides of the coin, you know. Like, I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing. So.
No, I think it's you know, I think it's part of the reason we love the sport. And it, you know, if it was easy, and it wouldn't be as much fun, and definitely less rewarding when you know have a good race. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so we talked about Pomona. You know, it sounds like, you know, with your mindset, do you think you'll be chasing the World Championship in 2020? I mean, is that kind of the plan as of February 18th?
I don't know. I'll probably see how a few more races go and then decide. I don't know. It's a lot of time on the road. Out here on the West Coast, like, what's tough about it is to get enough races, you really have to
travel
a lot. I mean, a ton. I mean, like, 2018, that season when unfortunately, I decided so late to start chasing, so I'd already skipped, like, four or five divisionals. But, like, for me, I literally went to two divisionals, and my rig went, like, 4,500 miles to get two divisionals.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's just terrible, you know? Like, so you got to go, like, all the way up to Seattle, which everything, oh, it's just the West Coast. Yeah, but Seattle's, like, it's, like, 1,800 miles from Vegas or something. I mean, it's each way, you know? So it's tough. I don't know. I'm going to go to Phoenix. I'm going to go to the Tucson Divisional, which is the week after Phoenix. And then I'm going to run Vegas National Divisional. And I'll probably make up my mind then. If I haven't done anything to speak of, I'll probably just hit national events for the rest of the year. But if I do have a good score, you know, I'll probably continue on. And obviously it's good for sponsors. It's you know, they like me racing for points and doing good in points. So it's something that I probably should do. I have two kids at home that I want to spend some time with. So it just depends on how it's looking probably 3 or 4 months in.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense to me. You know, it's kind of flipped coin. A lot of people we've interviewed on here, you know, obviously successful racers. And a lot of guys will say, like the Warner brothers, I remember I interviewed them not too long ago. And they were like, yep, we set the schedule up so we have their 14 races in every year. We make sure we go to all the races, you know, and kind of have it planned out. And then a lot of people are kind of more like you. Well, we'll see how it goes. Set up early in the year. If I, you know, keep going to points meets, that sort of thing. So I think it's the right way to look at it.
Yeah, and for me, it's for not sure. Even necessarily like a success factor. It's more like how do I feel about it? Like,
right.
If I feel like I'm driving good, aggressive. I mean, if I drive the next 3 or 4 races like I did in Pomona, even if I don't win, even if I lose first or second round of the next 5 races, but I'm driving like that.
You're feeling good.
I'll probably be going. But if
– right.
It's not even necessarily a success thing. It's more just like
more just you
how motivated I am, you know.
No, that makes sense. You talked about your kids and your wife. Do they travel with you to most of the races, or is it kind of a separate thing? I guess.
Yeah, they do go quite often. They're actually going to Phoenix. They did not go to Pomona. My parents came to Pomona with me, but they're coming with me to Phoenix, but. Like, I'll go solo to Tucson. It's hit or miss. You know, go back a couple of years, they went with me way more often. My son started school now and obviously does sports and stuff now. He's really into karate, plays basketball. So it's hard now for him. Now he has to miss school. He has to miss the sporting events. He has to miss all this other stuff. So it's, in the summer, they tend to go with me for sure. But in the spring and fall, which on the West Coast is when most of our racing is.
Makes it harder.
Yeah, it definitely makes it harder with him in school and whatever. So,
okay, cool. Any planned trips out east this summer yet?
To be honest with you, I had a plan. My plan was to go to Topeka. We're going to go to Topeka, Bristol, Chicago. And I even considered going to Norwalk. And a couple things happened. I realized that how far back Chicago got moved. It's all the way back in July now. I'm assuming you guys noticed that.
Yep.
Which – I said I would never go to Chicago in July again. I mean, I'm from Vegas where it's hot. It doesn't even scratch the surface of that freaking place. Like, that is the most miserable experience of my life. Like, it's like 100 degrees and 100% humidity. So that's the first problem. The second problem.
Humid, right.
The second problem with that is that's the All-Star race. And I'm pretty sure I'll more than likely be the All-Star for stock. I don't even think I'm close to super stock. But anyway, The problem with it is our double divisional in Sonoma is the weekend after Chicago. Well, it's like a three and a half day drive from Chicago to Sonoma. So you basically have to leave Chicago and just drive straight through all the way to Sonoma to be there on Thursday for the start of the first divisional. So, I mean, it's really poor planning on NH race part, in my opinion. Like, I mean, they want people to support this All-Star event, but they don't really make it easy. You know, like, to go to the All-Stars, you got to be at the Divisionals, which, I mean, it's just, it's not like the Divisionals down the block. I mean, it's 2,000 miles away, you know? So then I realized that, and then combined that with the fact that Kyle decided to put on a pretty good bracket race in Sonoma on the 4th of July weekend. So now, instead of going Topeka, Norwalk, or Topeka, Bristol, Chicago, all that, I can stay out here, be home a little bit more, and there's a good bracket race where they have a bottom ball and top ball class at Sonoma, the 4th of July weekend, leave my rig, fly home, just fly back to the National Divisional, and way less driving and way more money to be made, you know? I mean, you win one day at that bracket race, it's more than I could win at the whole Jags All-Star weekend, probably, you know? So,
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Still not 100% sure which way I'm going, but I'm really leaning towards just staying out here for that bracket race. But I do feel bad. I mean, a part of me feels like I should go and be at the Jags All-Star thing if I qualify for it, to represent our division or whatever. And I've never won it, which is something I would like to win. But with that race being in July and combine that with the divisional a week later, it really doesn't make any sense. So at this point, probably not coming. I'll probably fly to Topeka. One of my best friends, Phil Under, who lives in Kansas, and he always has an extra car. So more than likely, I'll just like fly to Topeka and race Super Gas or something in one of his cars just for fun. But that's probably it.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you still got some decisions to be made, but might not be making it out to the Midwest this summer.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, I've had fairly good success in Chicago the last few years. Like, I've never won the All-Stars, but I think I runner-up last year. I won it a couple times a few years ago, like in Stock and Super Stock. I mean, I've had good success. Like, I kind of want to go, but I'm not used to that humidity, and it's a long drive. I mean, those races, like, I'd for sure be going by myself. It's a lot of time on the road by myself, and it's just not – it's not the most fun, and especially when I can stay so close to home. And I don't know if you've ever been out to Sonoma area, but it's, like, the nicest part of the country, nicest weather. It's beautiful, like, no humidity, 70 degrees. It's awesome. Like, so I'm going to, like, give that up and go sit in the hot, humid weather. Like, I know that sounds like a fair weather racer, but it's definitely weighing my opinion.
Chicago is not definitely not on my list of favorite places to go. So no. I understand that. And my wife and I flew out to the Napa Valley Sonoma for a wedding a few years back, and I actually drove a rental car over to the racetrack, checked it out, and looks pretty sweet to me. It's definitely on the bucket list.
Right. So. Yeah, you could definitely see why I'd probably choose that over Chicago, but.
I could see it. All right, cool. Just a few more questions for you. So I asked Fletcher this, and I got to ask you the same question. So, you know, obviously the stock, super stock stuff, the amount that you can win in a national event has kind of gone down in the last 10 years for sure. Definitely hasn't gone up with the costs. And some of these bracket races, I mean, this year in 2020, there are two bracket races that guarantee over $1 million to win, plus, you know, several others that will pay, you know, $500,000+ to win. I guess just what's your take on that? I mean, you know, you're pretty good friends with, obviously, with Kyle and Peter and their spring fling and their fling series. And then you got the SFG stuff. It just seems crazy to me the kind of how bracket racing, the big dollar events have just exploded.
Well, I'm really torn on it. First of all, you go to those bracket races, and this is a numbers thing, but like, I've got a 1 in 50 chance to win 10 grand at a national event this weekend, which up until a couple years ago, 10 grand was still good money.
Absolutely.
We always don't think it's good money now because it's whatever. I mean, we don't think it's good money now because now that you're racing for $100,000 every week, like, it's nothing, it seems like. But in the grand scheme of things, like, whatever the national event count you said earlier, like, I've won that many 10 granders if you look at it from that perspective, right? It used to be 15 granders, right?
Yeah.
So I still think 10 grand is good money, especially if you win a few of them a year. Another big thing for me is from a sponsor perspective. I don't think I can get many sponsors to come with me to a, or to sponsor me to just go bracket racing. It's not really televised. It's not on TVs. There's no fans. There's no spectators there.
Yep.
And, like, I rely on sponsors to go drag racing. So a part of me, I mean, those bracket races are great, but I've got, like, a 1 in 600 chance to win instead of a 1 in 50. It's also not really, like, my forte. Like, I feel like I'm a bottom ball bracket race guy, not a top bulb, super pro, whatever kind of guy. And those are the ones paying all the money. The bottom ball bracket races are not paying a whole lot of money.
Correct.
Like for me, I mean, that's great. It's great for the sport. It's awesome for Pete and Kyle. I mean, you know, they're two of my best friends, and, I mean, they're thriving. Their business is awesome. But at the end of the day, I don't know. The experience isn't fun. It's not fun for your wife and kids when they go, or your family. I mean, you're racing 15, 18 hours a day, blah, blah, blah. I like it, but it's really not, like, my thing. And then combine that with the fact that on the West Coast, there's, like, one of those big races a year. For me to go to those, I got to drive thousands of miles each week to get to them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good take. And I think that makes a lot of sense for sure. Definitely on the West Coast. I mean, that's – now, you will run Pete and Kyle's race in Vegas, though, at your home track, right?
Oh, yeah, I for sure run. And listen, if they were closer, I would probably run some of the other events. To be honest with you, Pete and I and Kyle were planning on going to the $1 million race that Great American Bracket Race, I think it's called.
Yeah.
That Britt Cummings puts on. You know, we
yep.
talked about it, and then Kyle got sick again, and we kind of just agreed that we're not going without him. So if he's feeling better, we'll be there. If he's not, we probably won't. So it just kind of depends on, you know, how he's feeling. But, I mean, I want to go. It's just – but it's not really your thing. I'd rather go to, like, 10 granders that I feel like I got a really good chance of winning instead of, like, a 100 grander that – to be honest with you, like, I mean, my chance of winning that race is probably less than 0.5% when I roll in the gate, right? It's really low.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's a good perspective and a good way to look at it, for sure.
And for me, it's just, you know, when, I don't know, those guys, you know, they do that all the time. Like, they're really, I mean, they're good at it. It's what they do. It's like, it would be like, I mean, I don't know, who won the biggest race last year? Hunter Patton, right? I think he won 500K. Like, throw him in a Super Stalker and bring him to Phoenix and see what his chances are. Like, it's probably going to be pretty – I could be wrong, but it's probably going to be pretty tough. Like, and here I'm coming to his world, and it's really tough for me, you know? Like, this – I mean, I saw the other day Hunter already won, like, a 50 grander. I don't even think it was the end of January yet, you know? Like, those guys,
right.
I mean, they face year-round doing this stuff. And I show up, like – I mean, I drive my dragster, like, 2 or 3 times a year and expect to hang with these guys that are basically professionals, you know? Like, I mean –
yeah, I mean, they're making thousands of laps.
Correct. And it's so I go, honestly, where the sponsors like it, where the fans are, like, where I mean, I need sponsors to race, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not, you know, me and my family are not independently wealthy that we can just go and race and money's no object, whatever. So I need sponsors. And honestly, sponsors, I feel like sponsors in the industry, I think, are very willing to sponsor even if you're a bracket racer. And obviously, the sponsor support for these, like the fling events and like all these big bracket races is great. I mean, I saw the other day, I think Jegs is on board for one of the SFG races. I mean, obviously Pete and Kyle have a ton of support from K&A, I mean, you name it. But from like the racer standpoint, I mean, you're just 1 in 600 racers at the event with no fans looking at your car, looking at your products. Like, I mean, really from a sponsor perspective, they get way more bang for your buck out of the national event type of races, at least from what I've heard from the people that support me.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And, you know, I think Dan Fletcher had very much the same to say. But he said he was going to go try a few of those big million-dollar races and see what he could do.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, he has a better opportunity. I mean, he obviously is all over the – I mean, he's at different parts of the country all year.
Right.
For me, I'm going to have to, like, physically drive to one of those races 2,000 miles away to try to figure it out, you know to try to get there, basically.
Yeah, for sure. So, a couple more questions for you. What do you have any hobbies outside of racing?
You know,
sounds like you don't have time for much, but
yeah, is work a hobby? Does that count?
No, I don't think so.
To be honest with you, I would say the one that I probably do the most when I have time is shooting. When I was a kid, my father and I would go hunting and things like that. We haven't done that in years, but shooting is a really big thing. I enjoy, you know, shooting guns, and my son's now into it a little bit, and it's fun. You know, we go to, whether it's shotgun range or pistol range, whatever it is, just kind of like different target shootings, you know, sporting clays, things like that. So I do like doing that. I don't get to do it as often as I'd like, but I would say that's probably the thing I like the most besides racing.
Nice. Now, if I think I saw on Facebook that your son now has a junior dragster.
Yep, he does.
How old is he?
He's 6. He got it when he was 5. You're going to laugh, but as much as I'm into racing, whatever, he honestly, at this point, can care less. It's pretty funny. You'll laugh at the story. So I get him this car when he turns 5, and I don't know how detailed you look at the pictures, but, like, I'm going to venture to believe I probably have, like, the most extravagant, like, the nicest 5-year-old junior dragster ever. Like, I probably went over the top.
It looked pretty nice.
I had a good racing season, and I'd win a race and add something. I'd win another race and add something. Next thing you know, I'm, like, got this freaking Taj Mahal of junior dragsters, right? Well,
yeah.
So we give it to him for his birthday, and, I mean, he was a little excited, but just kind of eh. So, like, later that night, Janine asked him, like, hey, man, like, hey, bud, like, what, he didn't seem that excited with the dragster. Like, were you not surprised? And he's like, well, Mom, we all have race cars. Like, what's the big deal? Like, he just thinks, like, I like, really thought about it. I'm like, you know what, from his perspective.
Yeah, that's true, right?
There's just, like, 3 or 4 race cars around here, like, all the time, right? I
mean, right, right, yeah.
Mine, other people, everybody that we hang out with, everybody, I mean, Fletcher's was here last week. Unruh's is here now, right? I mean, there's just race cars all the time around here. It's just how it is. So, from his perspective, it's what it is, you know? And so there's that, and then so that was like a year ago when he got it. And now, like, we went to a test and tune earlier in the year. I was testing something, I think my stalker. And so he ran his car a couple times, and it was fine. I mean, he just kind of goes up and down. He doesn't get too excited about it. It's just kind of like, you know, hey, you want to go make a run? Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, all right. I mean, he just doesn't care. And then a couple weeks later, there's a race, and he had a basketball game on Saturday. And there was a 2-day race, Saturday and Sunday. And
okay.
One thing I was very adamant about, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but when you sign up for a team sport, I just feel like that should take precedent over the individual sport, right? So,
yep, 100% agree.
If you got a basketball game, you got to play basketball on Saturday, but would you like to go to the race on Sunday? He's like, oh, let's talk about it after the basketball game. So, after basketball game, you want to go racing? No, Dad, isn't there another race in like another month or so? Let's just go to that one. I don't really feel like going tomorrow. And he just is like, whatever, like he doesn't care, which is fine with me. I mean, I'm happy he's doing other things, but. Like, on the flip side of that, like Kyle's son, I mean, that kid, like, eats, sleeps, and breathes. I mean, that's he wants – he'd go racing every day if he could. I mean, he loves it.
Right.
And
similar age?
Hudson's about – I think Hudson's right at a year older.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just funny, just the difference in kids, you know. So, maybe one day he'll love it. If he doesn't, then he'll do whatever he wants to do. I mean, it's definitely not something that I think – that he should feel like he has to do because I did it, or he has to be good at it because I was good at it for a while or whatever. Like, if he doesn't want to do it, that's no problem with me. Like, I don't I definitely love it, and I do think that I had a great time growing up in the sport and junior dragsters and everything else. And, I mean, all of my best friends in life are from racing and things like that, but his best friends might be from basketball, right? Who knows? Like,
right.
And that's fine with me, so.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right way to look at it. And I mean, I have my son's going to be 5 this spring, right? And if I was to guess right now, yeah, he's not super into any part of it. But, you know, definitely give him the opportunity. If he wants to do it, we'll do it. If not, you know, try to support him in whatever his passion is, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I am. Just, I want him to have fun and do what he enjoys. And, you know, and not only that, I mean, racing, it's a huge commitment. I mean, especially when you're older, like, I mean, it's a lot. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll be more, you know, career-oriented and want to do something there. I mean, whatever it is, I as long as he grows up and is successful and happy, it's all good. He doesn't need to be racing. So,
now, do you see yourself racing forever? I mean, or do you have other goals or maybe even other racing goals? I mean, do you see yourself in a pro stock car someday, or you just want to kind of stay in the sports and ranks?
I think it would be cool to drive a pro stock car. Do I want to race 20 races a year, whatever they race? And
mm-hmm.
No interest. I think it'd be kind of cool to get my license in one, maybe try it out for a minute, but it's definitely not something I would want to do often. If I raced a couple races a year, it might be fun, but it would probably stop there. I think as far as racing, I think I'll probably always race in some capacity. As long as I'm doing good and successful at it, it's kind of hard to stop, like, while I'm doing good. But,
right.
I don't know. It's kind of one of those things I picture, like, hey, maybe one day when my kids are heavily involved in their sports, whatever, and I can't be gone as often, well, maybe I'll just keep one car and race a couple national events a year, and that's fine with me. But my gut feeling is I don't think I'll ever step away from it completely, but I could see maybe slowing down the road, and who knows, I might just keep racing like I am, you know. It's really hard to say. Whatever. And it's really hard to say, and it's really hard to talk about quitting when, like, my last few years have been very successful, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think, that's for sure. I mean, you're obviously so young too, right, so.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's stuff I still want to do. I mean, I think I could quit today and be happy with what I accomplished, but, I mean, I've been to the Jegs All-Stars 5 or 6 times and can't freaking win it. I mean, maybe more. I don't even know how many times. That might not even be accurate, but definitely a few times, and I've never won it. I want to. I would love to win the Gator Nationals one time. I think that's a pretty big deal. I got to the semis one time and comp there, racing for another guy, and we had a mechanical failure that cost us the race, and it's just ever since then I've just wanted to. I know it's just a race, but I've just wanted to win it. But, you know, so I think there's still stuff I'd like to accomplish. I feel like Indy is probably a big deal. It's just not a big deal to me. At this point in my life, it's like the biggest week-long waste of time. But it is like the biggest race in our sport, so like it'd probably be pretty damn cool to win it, you know. But there's just some events that I'd like to win. I think that would be pretty special. And like I said, like the Gator Nationals is definitely one of them. And I'd like to see some different tracks around the country. And, you know, so there's still more that I want to accomplish in racing for sure. You know, I'd love to try to win one of these big bracket races. I mean, but all of this stuff, you got to go, right?
Yeah.
And right now in my life, I don't have time to go. So I feel like those things will keep me wanting to continue doing it. And as long as I can keep putting forth the effort and having a little success here and there, then I think that I want to keep racing, and I don't see wanting to quit anytime soon. But we'll see how life goes, you know. I mean, my biggest factor is the kids. So I just I don't want to miss their childhood because I'm out racing 25 weekends a year, you know.
Yeah, well, especially if they don't want to be a part of it, right?
Exactly. And I think that – and they enjoy going. I mean, it's just at this point, my son's not that into it. And it's funny, my daughter's like, he's only 2.5, almost 3. But at this point, at 3 years old, she loves it. I mean, she was in the shop with me all day on Sunday. I was just working on the motorhome and, you know, doing different things. And I mean, she's just right there with me and just, Dad, what are you doing about 473 times in one day? and she loves it. So I mean, if they love it, we'll keep doing it, you know. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Janine's talked about racing a little bit. Prior to having kids, really close to putting in my stock, I had that 70 Camaro at the time. And then since having kids, obviously that's kind of consumed her world. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe there's a chance that, you know, she wants to try it out. And so, like I said, I mean, there's so many different things that can happen over the years. But right now, as long as I'm driving good and having success, it's definitely not something I want to quit right now. So.
Cool. All right, so I just got two more questions for you.
All right.
One, and I asked Dan the same question. If you're not going to be the world champ in Stock or Super Stock, who are your top couple picks? And it was easier for him because he said he wasn't chasing no matter what.
What were his answers? I'm just curious.
Well, you got to answer first, then I'll tell you.
I don't know. I mean, it'd probably be one of my good, like, I mean, right off the top of my head, I feel like he needs to start with winning a national event, but, Ryan Mangus, I raced with Ryan. I don't know how many people will know him, but,
yeah,
he's a good buddy of mine. I mean, I've raced with him since junior dragsters and, man, I feel like, first and foremost, I'd love to see him win a national event and just get that monkey off his back. But for him to win a championship would be awesome. And he,
if you've ever watched his driving, he is a really, really good driver, and he does put forth the effort. And so I would love to see Ryan do it. And, man, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I mean, there's a lot of people that I think are, like, very deserving that drive well. And I feel like I always kind of, like, enjoy seeing the younger guys win. Like Aaron Stanfield. The last few years, Aaron's had great years. He's never actually won, but he's come close. Like, I would love to see Aaron win. I'd love to see Brad win it, Zaskowski. I mean, he's, you know, one of the better that has never won. Jody Lang would be awesome. Just, I mean, Jody, I'll just make the statement, is probably the best to ever race stock in super stock that hasn't won a world, right? Like, he, in my opinion, is absolutely just one of the best. But he's at a huge disadvantage in Division Six. Like, they get such low car counts. I mean, a lot of the times he's winning races and getting 95 points. And, you know, it's tough where he's at to do it.
Right.
There's quite a few people, you know. And, I mean, obviously, you know, my good friend first. But there's some other people that, you know, I mean, Jody and I aren't great friends by any means. I mean, we're kind of more acquaintances. But I would still just love to see. I feel like he's just very deserving of it. So, and I don't know. I'd really have to sit down and think about it to just pinpoint one or two. But off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking. So.
Yeah, so I believe Dan said yourself and Santangelo were his top two.
Okay. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I mean, Joey's won that. I mean, he's won it before, but I would love to see him win it again. I mean, last year he drove his ass off. I think I'm allowed to say that on here, but, I mean, he drove great all year and just had, I mean, it just, whatever. I mean, he even – towards the end, I mean, it, like, pressure on his last claims. I mean, he just drove incredible, you know, and just lost tough rounds. And he's definitely very deserving. And I actually got to know Joey a little bit through Pete originally. And he's a good kid and puts in the effort and really tries hard. And I don't know. I guess I feel like the guys that are the hardworking is who I really want to see win, you know. Like, I know what it takes and I know how much effort I put in. And I want to see the guys that I don't want it to fall in someone's lap. Like, I want it to be the guys that put in a ton of effort. And I'm sure there's a whole lot of people that put in a ton of effort. It's just, there's a few that I know about specifically, and I'd love to see those guys do it. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, me and Charlie, you know, we picked, like, at the beginning of the year, some people that we thought would be in the top and some people, and then mid year we did the pick again. And, like, the people, you know, Allison, and, you know, one stock and all the top couple people in both classes, like, we didn't even talk about them at mid-year. So I think it just shows how tight the competition is and, you know, how hard it is, you know, because you had people like Joe Santangelo and Ricky Decker that just had monster first halves and then drove good in the second half, like, didn't drive bad, but just didn't get it done. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. It goes to show just how tough the competition is. And like I said, there's just so many good racers and everybody's just getting better and better. So it's tough, but I like to see those guys that just put in a ton of effort and are good guys. Like, that's really important to me. Like, and it's so unfortunate. I know the guys that are close to me are just really good people. And
yeah, for sure.
And I want to see, like, those – I want to see the good guys win, you know. And, like, Brad, I don't know him well, but what I do know – I mean, every time I'm around him, he's happy, he's upbeat, he's positive. He just seems like just a great person to me. And I know you know him, like, really well, and so you can probably speak to that way more than I can. But he just seems like a great guy, and I'd love to see him win, you know. And same thing with Aaron Stanfield. Like, I'm by no means friends with him. I talk to him here or there, but he just seems like a good dude. I'd like to see him do it, you know. But –
No, I agree. I mean, people like that, it's hard to root against them, right? I mean, you want to see yourself win, but after you lose or whatever, it's like, you know, there's definitely guys that you can root for. No
Absolutely.
Question.
Yeah.
All right, so the other question I asked Dan, I got to ask you, since you're kind of the opposite coast, you know, where do you think the best place to, like, what division is the best place to win the world championship from? Now, you've obviously been very successful on the West Coast. I mean, do you think that it's easier out there with less cars and harder to travel? And just makes a smaller pool or not? What do you think?
Man, I think it's different. Like, some of the advantages of out here, there's, like, less chance of a heads up because there are less cars. You don't necessarily have to have, like, a really fast car to compete because the chance of getting a heads up is low, whatever. But then,
right.
Like, on the flip side of that, like, okay, let's just take the entry list, and I'm not doing this, it's not in front of me, but like just hypothetically, take the entry list from Phoenix or Pomona and compare it to the first national event East Division this year. Like, I'm going to venture to say it's as hard here as anybody. I mean, there's as many really great racers here as anybody, anywhere. And that's the thing that we get. Like, I mean, obviously Rampy's retired now, but
yeah,
like at all of our West Coast races, especially in the fall when the guys are chasing, you've got every guy chasing points here.
Yep.
You also have Fletcher, Rampy, the guys doing it for a living here.
Yep.
You know, like that's the, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to say if one is easier than the other. I don't know. I mean, Division Six, like I would like to say, oh, there might be a little bit less competition there, but you're only getting 95 points to win.
Right.
And there's still really great guys there. There's just not as many, but like you still are racing Jody to win. Period. I mean, you're gonna run.
Right.
You go to Division Six and win a race. You have to race. You have to beat Jody. Well, I don't really want to race Jody in his slow ass car when I'm going 160 miles an hour. You know.
Right. Right.
I mean, he's great, and it's a tough round, you know? So, you know, and then when you win, you only get 95 points. So, I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to say. I mean, I can tell you, like, my success rate when I've traveled, which I haven't been far east much at all, like Division
right.
1, 2 area, but, like, Division 3, I mean, just a couple years ago, I was in the final of both, won one, run it up the other, and then my top drags, Kyle was driving my top dragster and won. Like, we've had pretty good success out there.
Absolutely.
So I definitely don't think it's any easier there than it is here. And, you know, you get all these, like, touring pros, everybody chasing points. I mean, like, that Vegas divisional in the fall is probably the hardest division of the year, in my opinion. Like, it just because everybody that's claiming, they're trying to win division championships, national championships, everybody is there. Everybody, like.
Yeah.
If you're in the points hunt at all, you're there. And it makes for a tough race. You know, there's a lot on the line and a lot of pressure because that's all the announcers talking about. And so it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think this is easy anywhere. And I don't think it's easier competition. And then even if there's a place with easier competition, maybe the travel's harder or, you know, whatever. Like, there's so many factors. I don't think it's really fair to even – assess it, I guess. I'm kind of talking through this with you on the phone here, but I don't think it's super easy to, you know, assess like what's easier or harder, because you could say, oh, well, Division Six, the competition might be a touch easier. Yeah, well, there's one national event, Division Six. So you want to win the world from Division Six, you have to drive 1,500 plus miles to five national events a year. And that's like the closest national event to Seattle, I'm going to guess, is like, well, Sonoma might be 800 or 1,000, but after that, the next closest is Vegas. It's like 1,800 miles away. You got to go to five races 1,800 miles away. So, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be tough just doing that, let alone the racing.
Yeah, let alone the racing. I mean, you just got to do that. And so now you're in Division 6 for your divisionals, but you're having to race Division 7 where, I mean, you can just go down the entry list, but you've got Rizzoli, Fletcher, Mangus, Jimmy, Jeff Taylor, like, I mean, all these dudes, they're all down here racing every week, like, or every national, you know? So is it really any easier? Now you got to travel way more. You get 10 points less when you win your divisionals, and you have to race nationals with some of the best in the country. So, again, I can't speak for divisions I haven't been to, you know, and or I haven't spent a lot of time in, you know, Division II, Division I haven't spent a lot of time. I've been to 3 and 4 a little bit, and honestly, I think it's really tough everywhere. The competition's tough, and I think every divisional is – or every division is hard. It's hard for different reasons, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no,
the one
no,
thing
I agree.
I can say about Division 3 is I do feel like there's quite a few fast cars out there. So if you're going to race in Division 3 in one of those popular classes, you better have a fast car.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree, and I used to be able to hide and be modified, but now there's like five be modified cars that are fast. So I don't know. Might change my strategy. But no, I agree. And I've asked a lot of, me and Charlie have asked a lot of people that question. And every single person has always defended their own division, which understandably so, right?
Yeah.
But you bring up lots of different, every person has brought up lots of different reasons, right? And I think what it comes down to from my perspective is it's hard everywhere. For its own reasons.
And that's how I feel.
And I think it's getting harder. Like, you know, just in the short time that me and you have been racing, I mean, it's the competition has ramped up. And the cars have gotten better and faster. I mean, Stock Eliminator, in about 10 years ago, we brought a B-Stock car, a B-Stick car out. We ran automatic first, B-Stock automatic, and then put a stick in it to get away from the heads-ups in Division 3 because there were so many B-Stock automatic cars. And, I mean, I can remember back then, I mean, I chased almost everybody. But within a few short years, I mean, like 2 years ago, I got chased like half the time looking at my logbook, going 10-30s. I mean, that's nuts. And Stock Eliminator.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's even mine. I mean, I got to, depending on what class I'm racing, but let's just call it a 950, 960 car. And, I mean, there's times I get chased by a second and a half. I mean, there's 8-0 stalkers, you know? It's like, holy crap. Like, but, yeah, that's my opinion. I don't know that I would defend or promote, like, one division's harder, easier. I just think that there's different logistically, I think the West Coast is really difficult, and there's no arguing that. But
and probably more expensive from the travel perspective too, right? Whether it's
fortune, man. Like everywhere you go, there's a hill, there's a mountain. There's a, I mean, it's gas mileage is terrible. It's windy. It's miserable. Like it's funny. Like I think my gas mileage doubles as soon as I get to like Kansas. It's just flat the whole way. You know, it's so nice. But and I remember it was funny. Like one of my buddies. I don't know if you guys know Rick Mann, but
he beats me heads up all the time. Yeah, I know Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice guy.
Really good dude. I'm on the phone with him like a year or two ago, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to Bristol. I'm just dreading going over that hill." I'm like, "That hill? That's not a hill. Like, come over here and drive through the Rocky Mountains, and I'll show you a hill. Like, get to the
desert." I'm confident if I moved out west, I would have to buy a new toter room because mine does not have enough power to get up and down the mountains out there.
Yeah. I mean, people, like, almost think we're stupid, but, like, my dad bought our toter home. We've had it for, like, 15 years now, but it's got, like, a 600-something horsepower cat engine. They're like, why do you need a 16-liter engine? Like, we'll come out here and we'll show you, you know? I mean, it's
– Well, mine's got the 330-horsepower cat, and I can tell you it does not have enough power to go up any mountains.
Right, yeah. It's just – every division has its challenges for sure, and – You know, like one thing we don't have a lot about here that most other divisions, I think, do is the threat of weather. Like very rarely do we have, you know, races that are getting rained out or having to stay over Monday or Tuesday or whatever. You know, most of our races have good weather and you just get through it and go home and, you know, you don't have to worry about calling in sick on Monday to finish the race or whatever. You know, so I think everything has different challenges. And I do think that the competition is very difficult everywhere. So I don't know that.
No, I think it's tough everywhere, and I think that, you know, I knew this was true, but the more people I've talked to, you find out that it takes a great sacrifice of financial, family, friends, life to do what we do and do what we love, and I think you blow a tire out of your trailer and you think, man, I got a piece of junk, and nobody else has problems like this, but the more people you talk to and get to know, you're like, no, everybody has problems. It's just hard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's tough wherever you're at. It is. I don't know. And I've obviously been very fortunate. I've been given the opportunity to race all over the country at some point in my career or another. And I just think it's hard everywhere. I really do.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I won't take up too much more of your time tonight. I know you're leaving, tomorrow to go to Phoenix?
I am. We're leaving tomorrow night, and I drive down there at night. I'm kind of a night driver. I don't know how you are, but I would almost just rather drive at night. You don't have to worry about traffic in the cities and less cars on the road. So I'll work all day tomorrow and get on the road 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow night and head down there. So.
No, we like the night driving as well for lots of different reasons, but it's less traffic and definitely, and you get to work too, right? So it works out good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of days off, but it just puts me more and more behind at work. So I'd rather just, you know, work as much as I can and hit the road and then save some of those days for either other races or family activities or whatever. So
nice. Well, good luck at Phoenix this weekend. And hopefully you change your mind and come back east. Love to see you at Norwalk this summer, but sounds like that may be slim.
Yeah, it's not looking good, but I'll definitely, I'm sure I'll come sooner or later. I really wish they didn't switch that schedule around. I Chicago was so much more pleasant being in early June, and it allowed me to hit a couple of races out there and then still get to my West Coast stuff. So
yeah,
whatever.
Being the dates that they put it, it'll definitely be a several t-shirt per day type of race.
Right. I'll never forget. We went to Chicago a couple years ago, and we went to the bracket race in Indy the week before. So Kyle
okay.
and I went there and raced our dragsters. And so we go there the week before, and I'm not kidding. We would get out of the car, hook the charger. We wouldn't even look at the weather station. We didn't give a shit. All we wanted to do was get in that AC. Like, we had the air conditioning as low, just set as low as it can go, or wouldn't shut off. And we would just, like, fall in the motor, just lay on the couch until they called us for the next round. And, I mean, Kyle weighs nothing now. But, I mean, at the time, he was a little overweight. I wasn't overweight really at all. And, I mean, it's not like we're, like, out of shape. We're just not used to it. Like,
right. Yeah, and that was different.
I don't know if you guys knew that, but, like, at the Fall Vegas race last year, I remember texting Luke. He's like, what's the weather like out there? And it was, like, three water greens. Three.
True.
Like, not 30, three. Like, I mean, 30 would be low out by where you guys are from. For us, it was
right.
three. You know, it's just totally different. We're just not used to it. So it really kicks my butt when I'm back there. But
yeah,
anyway.
No, it's – yeah, for sure.
Have
a great,
well, listen,
have
I,
a great
I
night.
Appreciate,
and,
I appreciate you guys having me on, and thank you for putting on this podcast. I think it's cool for the, you know, class-specific racers, and whatever. I hope you guys keep doing it.
No, I think it's been a lot of fun, and glad you could jump on. And again, just great luck at Phoenix. Good luck the rest of the year. Hopefully see you somewhere.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
That concludes the Class Racing Podcast. Please remember to visit racetoolsdirect.com for all of your tools and equipment needs.